Right, we're looking at Romans. This will be a short talk. but I think you'll find it... it may give you a very, very new perspective on some difficult passages here. We've covered lots of subjects in Romans. Last week we looked at reconciliation, making peace with God. Do you remember? And this week my topic is when praise meets pain. So chapter 5, we're going to read the same verses we read last week, and I'm going to pick out a particular set of them. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That was the theme for last week. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast, we rejoice, we glorify, we say thank you in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. We praise in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Not the easiest of passages, granted. And we're going to look in particular at verses 3 to 5, where it says, not only so, we also glory in, or we keep praising God in, or we... celebrate in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope. The Vineyard has a fundamental, in the sense of an essential theology, which we call the kingdom theology, and we describe it as the already and the not yet. And this is one of those verses that touches on the already and the not yet. You see, God's love has transformed our disposition by grace. The trajectory of our lives has been transformed by grace. And we have every reason for celebration and to rejoice today. That is the already of the already and the not yet. But we live in a fallen world where trials and tribulations continue. This is not paradise. This is the not yet of the already and the not yet. Think about Jesus. Jesus had this wonderful relationship with his Father God. The already of the already and not yet. Nothing could change that. But the path to the resurrection led through Gethsemane for Jesus. As he faced crucifixion, he cried out, Father, if you're willing, take this cup away from me. Nay, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's the not yet of the already and the not yet. So we need to be careful when we take this concept of present suffering. The phrase is, we glory in our sufferings. It's a funny set of words. And it's usually misunderstood, and it's certainly often misapplied. What it doesn't mean is that we should take some sort of masochistic delight in pain and suffering. Which reminds me of a story I heard about a preacher who was speaking and going on and on, well past his allotted time. He had started out boring and it didn't get any better. And eventually somebody over there had enough, took up a hymn book and threw it across, missed the preacher and hit somebody over there and knocked them out. And as they were coming round, they were heard to groan, hit me again, I can still hear him. We're not seeking pain. We're not looking around for something that hurts and then glorying in it, in the expectation that, you know, the trouble will grow us into spiritual giants. Rejoicing in suffering is not meritorious. Pain is not good. You know that stuff about what doesn't kill you will something? Poppycock. Pain is not good. It is not the trouble that produces the perseverance and the character and the hope. Trouble is what breaks people. We don't glory because of our tribulations and our sufferings, but we do seek to encounter God in the midst of them. Pain only achieves something good when it's confronted by faith in God. When we know that we're saved, that we've been rescued, and our posture is one of praise and rejoicing, and we celebrate that access that we talked about last week, the access into the, and we can stand in grace. What it means is when you say we also rejoice in our suffering, it means that we continue to celebrate what Jesus has done, even or especially during those times when we're in suffering and pain. Not because of, but even in. I like the Message translation of this, when it says, we continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles. See, being blessed is not measured by the troubles we avoid, or conversely, by the troubles we endure. That's not how you measure being blessed. This isn't a competition. I've had a harder time than you. Which means what? It means I'm better than you or I'm worse than you. What does it mean? Does it mean that I'm okay to doubt but you're not, or you're okay to doubt and I'm not? We're not to look for pain. We're not to celebrate suffering. The issue is, what do we do when trouble comes our way? As it inevitably will. So, I want you to meet a friend of mine. Cindy, are you here? Yes, you're here. Great. That's really helpful. It would have been a one-sided conversation otherwise. Cindy has had a good friend of ours, a good friend of mine, and has had a difficult few years. The family have had a difficult few years, and I wanted her to come and share some of what she's been through. Come and do you like these? Well, I thought we could use these thrones. Come and have a seat. That's what Parkinson does, isn't it? Like this. I can't think what else they'd use these for. They're very Methodist. Do you feel Methodist? Here's your microphone. So you've had a rough few years, and particularly over the last couple. Just tell us what's happened.
Well, when I turned 50, I thought life was good. We were celebrating lots of family events, weddings, anniversaries, and I thought life is good. And then we seemed to hit a real downward spiral. People in close family got illness. We were made redundant twice. We ended up having to move home and they're living in rented. One of our children's marriage broke down and it was quite a nasty breakdown. And one of our children had mental health issues that resulted in a lot of heartache and a lot of discoveries of what had gone on in our life that we were unaware of as parents. And it was a really tough time. So, you know, we were coming through that and we thought, okay, we've got through it. We're living to tell the tale. God's been good and God's been really faithful. And then I was sat one afternoon at home and I'd had my routine checkup. And I was sat at home having a nice cup of coffee. The phone rings and I answer it. And I had never realised one phone call could change your world in such a short space of time. Being a nurse and having a daughter that's a nurse, I knew what they were saying. So, you know, they were saying, oh, we need you to come back and see the consultant. And I just knew. So I just said to the nurse, have I got cancer? And she said, well, yes. So on the back of everything that had gone on, I was then delivered this, you've got cancer, and which didn't it brought up a lot of memories for me, because my mum, we didn't have a great family history with cancer. And so immediately all those kind of things just kicked into play.
And this was 2 years ago?
July the 7th, 2014.
14, 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So give us a quick, what's happened in the last 18 months?
Well, unfortunately the cancer I had meant I needed chemotherapy, radiotherapy. Oh, I had an operation, chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and then Herceptin, and now hormone treatment. I had to have genetic testing because we had such a strong family history, which brought a lot of questions and impact for the family, especially the girls. You know, it immediately raised an awful lot of issues for them. Fortunately, and thank God, he really reassured me when I'd had the test, and though it was only a blood test, that's fine. It was the waiting for the result. That he reminded me very clearly that our inheritance is in him, not in, you know, although they're my children, their inheritance is still in God. So I really claimed that afresh for particularly my girls, and fortunately the results came back that I didn't carry the genetic genes, so hopefully they're clear.
Great.
No, they are clear.
Yeah. So. And how did Ian cope with this, your husband?
Ian being Ian, very logically, he was a rock, and I've got so much to be thankful for in him, but I could see his pain. Mm. And as a mum and a wife, when you deliver news to your kids and your family and you know that it's you, I know directly it wasn't me causing it, but because of me they were going to...
Yeah.
And I had to realise that I couldn't do their journey. And that was hard, because as a mum, you fix it.
Yeah.
You put the plaster on, you fix it. And I couldn't do it this time. I had to really let go of them and say to God, they're yours. They've got their own journey to do. But it was hard seeing them struggle.
And how are you now?
How am I now? I'm good. I'm living with the side effect, well, the minimum side effects, and I know they will diminish as time goes on, but it's learning to live within my own limitations.
You're looking at going back to work?
I'm going back to work next week.
You got your own hair?
And I've got my own hair.
Fantastic. Okay, so the question, I mean, that's a horror story, and I don't particularly want to big it up. The point of getting you to rehearse that is to investigate what. How did you go through that from a faith point of view? And because obviously, if Cindy had died, I couldn't have this conversation with her. So that's raised a whole lot of other issues. But she didn't. She's here, so we can.
I did have somebody pray for me. You know, somebody that I love dearly, and they know I tell this story. And I had a thought of death wasn't an option for me. Because it wasn't that bad a diagnosis. And they prayed, Lord, even if she dies, it's your glory. Yeah. And that kind of brought me out really short.
Yeah. That's not a helpful prayer, by the way. Okay, just log that in your list of things not to pray. That's one of them. Okay. But what I mean is, we've got a case study. I'm using Cindy as a case study. Okay. So I'm not trying to big her up and make this the worst possible thing. I just wanted to know what happens when somebody goes through something like this. So what did this do to your faith? How did you talk with God about it during the last 18 months in particular?
I've been dared to say, hello, look, hello, it's me, by Adele. That's how she's got a song, Hello, It's Me. And often that's how I felt with God. Hi, God, it's me again. And I can honestly say that in the whole 18 months, I've not felt angry with God because I've been ill. I felt angry with the symptoms and with the treatment, but not with God, because what right have I got to say? Not me. You know, I'm going to walk the Christian faith, but don't give me anything hard. And I know the day that I was diagnosed, yes, we've had tears. There's been days where I know I failed miserably, and I've been self-pitied. But I know that day I had to make a choice of whether I did the journey with God, and I said to God, okay, I'm doing this journey. It's not one I would choose, but I want to do it with you. And he gave me a verse in Isaiah 45 of, I will give you treasures in the darkness. And I really held on to that verse and asked God, will you give me those treasures? I want you to show me the treasures. That if this is going to be of any benefit, I want to find those treasures. And I wanted it to be a living testimony, mainly for my kids, that they could say, Mum walked this journey. But not because I wanted to be holier than thou, or I wanted to be them to be saying, Mum, you're awesome. But I wanted to show God's glory in it, so that they could say, yes, Mum's faith is more than just a piece of paper, just going to church on a Sunday. And so I started that journey, and I said, God, we're going to do this together. And it's not been easy, but I went on Amazon and I found some books. I found a study book.
Other booksellers are available.
But there isn't a Christian bookstop in Leeds, though.
Sorry about that.
So I went on Amazon and I found some books, and there was one, be careful, because I found one, The Incredible Year, and it was horrible. It was a horror story to read. I didn't read it all.
Give us two or three that were good.
But I bought one, In the Father's Hand, and that was an amazing, it was a personal story of somebody that had walked through breast cancer, and she used God's verses of the Bible to actually, you know, encourage herself. And I read that, and Ian read it, and he found it really helpful. I then got Confronting Cancer with Faith study book, and that was just amazing, because that not only gave me verses that I could hold on to, but it challenged me in how I encountered each step, how I viewed each step, and how I was going to handle it. And then I also, there was Adriana Walker, who runs Mercy Ministries, has written a book, Pain to Pearls, and that's a really easy read. And she in there really talks about, you know, who are you going to share your pet table with in times of trouble? Are you going to share it with faith or with fear? And, you know, that it just challenges me that, you know, I have choices to make the whole way through this journey. Mm. Sometimes I did make bad choices, but I hope on the whole I've made good ones. And okay. I know, I was looking yesterday at through the journals, because I journaled the whole way through, and I did before, but I really journaled. And I forgot how much I'd written, actually. And just going back through, I thought, wow, God, you've been amazing.
Yeah.
And I've really fell in love with God again. I've come to know him again as my dad, because I hadn't had a fantastic dad. And to fall in love with, because my dad had massive hands. And so when people talk to me about God holding my hand, that wasn't a good concept for me. But I've come to realize that God is holding my hand. He's carried me through this.
So over the last 18 months, that would be one way in which your understanding of God has shifted?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've really learned anew, you know, what it is to love God and to celebrate the good. Okay. You know, you take for granted so many little things, and God's challenged me that in the bad times, celebrate it's Friday, you know, because weekends come in. Yeah. And little things like that.
So looking forward, what's your conversation with God like now?
It's fun. I've learned to to talk to him during the day a lot more, to ask him a lot more, God, what do you think about this? And I want to keep finding those treasures, because I know that it's part of my history now. You know, his story has become my history, and I don't want it to be for my glory. I want God to be glorified. I want to tell, you know, as I go back to work, I know my challenge is not to slot back in. I find giving up work really hard, because I realised how much you were doing the series on work at the time. And I realised how much my identity was in work, but also how much my daily routine was tied in to not going to work. Okay. And so my challenge is not to go back and just slot back into where it was, but to be able to tell people at work without being pompous or holier than thou, but tell people at work, tell friends how God has walked the journey with me.
Yeah, great. Cindy, thank you ever so much for sharing. Appreciate it. On the when we put this up on the website, we'll have all those books and references for you so that you can dig them out if you'd like. Right, let's wrap this up really quickly. Verses 3 and 4, it talks about suffering producing perseverance, perseverance producing character, and character hope, which we just saw a case study of that in that little conversation. We're not meant to be happy because we're hurting, but in suffering we can encounter Jesus. That's what's come out of this, isn't it? And through that we can grow stronger. Let's just very quickly look at those words a little bit more. Suffering, which means tribulation, it means troubles, hostility, physical suffering, loss, pain. Understand this, that suffering is not the work of God. Okay, it's not the work of God. God created the world perfect without suffering. And one day, we will be free of suffering again. The enemy has brought suffering and pain. And one day, the enemy's power will be broken. Revelation 21 says, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's the hope and the future, the not yet. We live in the already, that's the already, we live in the not yet, where the enemy brings suffering. Okay, let's just make sure we know who it is to blame for it. It says suffering produces what? Suffering produces, results in, leads to nothing good. Okay, it's not good to say, you can't in general just say suffering produces good things. Pain hurts, and suffering breaks people. Our reaction is usually to complain to God and about God. Why me? You know, what have I done? How could you do this? But when praise meets pain, when faith in God confronts suffering, it can trigger a good result. It's your choice. Like Cindy said, she had to make a choice. You can choose to, like the Message translation said, continue to shout your praise whilst hemmed in by trouble. It produces perseverance. Perseverance is a disciplined patience and endurance. Whereas we would expect pain and hostility to break and traumatize us, so much so that we do everything we can to minimize our discomfort in this life, when trouble meets faith in our lives, it can produce perseverance, which is a good thing. There's that choice. I experience pain and trouble. I can choose to look into the darkness and turn my back on the one who has saved me by grace. Or I can choose to continue to look towards the light. I continue to hope and seek him in the darkness that surrounds me, looking for those treasures. Perseverance will produce character. Character is a quality of provedness. That's the old-fashioned word, which is what this means. A quality of provedness possessed by faith when it has been through a time of testing. A good analogy would be when they heat up a load of metal ores in a furnace and all the base metals have been refined away to leave pure gold. A refined faith, one that has been tested and has come through, is what character is about. And then we end with hope. That produces a place where hope can rise. We started with that hope of glory, which sets the trajectory and disposition of our lives, of a disciple's life. And when the disciple goes through pain, he says, is the hope still there? Is it worth it? What about my fears and doubts? When you decided to follow Jesus and he poured out his Holy Spirit lavishly into your heart, and your life was transformed and saved and rescued, it happened then. The tried and tested character finds that the hope of glory has been proven in real life. Their experience of the saving love of God in the past is tried and tested in the present and points towards a certain hope of salvation to come. That's what that passage is about. Let me just conclude. When praise meets pain, during the pain and suffering, somewhere in that choice to continue in praise, somewhere in that process, somewhere in that conversation between us and God, between us and each other as we pray for each other, somewhere in there we enter into this place of grace. We're ushered in. Do you remember? It's an access. It's like a VIP card into a place of grace with God. A place where we can persevere. A place where character can grow. And where we can know the hope of glory. Because of God's love poured into your heart. Why don't you stand? We're way over time. So I'm just going to pray, and then if you've got kids, I'd like you to go and get them. But if you, if this has got to you, and you think the Lord's prompting you, and you need to grapple with this, it's not easy, you need to grapple with this. Somebody close to you is having a tough time, you've had a tough time, you've had loss, and it's still something you're, this, it's easy for me to say you make a choice, but you're grappling with that, we'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for you if you've come for any other purpose today, for that matter of fact, but we need to stop. So what we'll do is, when I've prayed, go and get your kids if you've got them, but come back, and there'll be somebody here at the front. Come up to the front, we'll get somebody to pray with you who can help and minister to you. Or if you're sitting near somebody who looks nice, get them to pray with you. All right. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. We thank you that you have been here, and we invite you once more to fill us again. This whole thing of suffering hurts so much, especially when we watch it in others. Would you make the Leeds Vineyard a family where we can support and pray for one another as we go through these things? But will we also be a people who choose to follow you through this? Would you reveal yourself to us, the new things that we can only see as we go through the trials and tribulations? We thank you for the testimony from Cindy, and I could have chosen other people in the church with similar testimonies, and we thank you for them. Would you come? Would you come? Would you bear us up? And we say, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When the sun shines, when the road's covered in darkness, blessed be your name. But we love you, we trust you, and we choose to follow you. Amen. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard today. Have a good week.